Inside on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is supported by Arion Talent, technology and tools for your business. It's Arion.com. And Inside Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service advertising, production, and consulting group here in the Des Moines Metro, InsideCube.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. With us in studio is David Edelman. He is a vice president with Cornerstone Government Affairs, offices all over the place here in the United States, but he is with the Des Moines office. We're going to be talking about how do government laws get done? How do businesses have an advocate out there to talk about, well, what they'd like to see, and how do individuals get laws passed or defeated at the same time? Welcome, David. Nice to have you here.
Thank you, Michael. Good afternoon.
Tell us, in a nutshell, what is Cornerstone Government?
So Cornerstone Government Affairs is a multi-client government affairs, government relations firm. We assist our clients both at the state, local, and federal level, helping advocate for laws that will help them or advocate against laws that would be detrimental to their interests.
Yeah, and by doing that, you are a lobbyist.
That's correct, even though sometimes a lobbyist has a bad connotation. I think we are misrepresented. I believe lobbyists are educators.
There you go. Well, I think that's one of the things that many people look at, and they say, well, there's a lot of money that goes to lobbyists to lobby for whatever bill, whatever the law happens to be, or against whatever the law happens to be. And they say, well, that's not quite fair. But at the same time, where do legislators get their information?
Well, I think that's exactly right, Michael. As you know, the First Amendment, everyone has a right to petition their government. But in Iowa specifically, the Iowa legislature is a citizen legislature. So our state founders decided when making up the legislature that they wanted to have legislators bring their areas of expertise into the legislature as opposed to being full-time politicians. So out of the 150 legislators, we have legislators whose professions are educators, insurance agents, farmers, bankers, etc. However, the Iowa laws that are passed are kind of a full spectrum. And so a legislator who is a educator may not know a ton about the agricultural economy. And so they will look towards the agriculture lobbyists and other interest groups to help them as they decide what to vote for or how to vote on a certain piece of legislation.
And I think what's stunning is maybe the public doesn't oftentimes realize this, but those of us who are political watchers, so to speak, there are some great resources for the general public to follow along with the bills, who is for and who is against, because there are declarations on these things.
Absolutely. I think the Iowa legislature is one that is very accessible as well as one that is very transparent. So any piece of legislation that I lobby for or against on behalf of our clients, we have to publicly register our declaration
right,
for, against, or just simply monitoring.
On whatever that bill is.
That's correct.
Now, when we you know, sometimes it's pretty clear when people say, okay, we're for this or we're against this. Sometimes it also gets muddy because you don't really understand, okay, can they change their mind throughout that process? And if they're simply monitoring, is that sometimes an easy way to just say, okay, hands off, I'm not going to go there?
Well, I think there are very few pieces of legislation that are specific to one topic, right, or keeping it germane to just the title.
Sure.
Also, throughout the legislative process, if remember in kind of fourth grade social studies, the cartoon of how a bill becomes a law, there are multiple steps in writing legislation, and there are multiple opportunities for amendments to be tacked on to perfect a piece of legislation. And so it is important that the legislator stays on top of that, as well as the lobbyist or the interest group, making sure that it is conveyed back to the taxpayer, the Iowa taxpayer, or the business, making sure that they know what law is moving forward in the General Assembly.
Now, with regard to lobbying or advocacy for a certain bill, I've had people ask me this question, and I think it's germane to our conversation. Who is the advocate for the consumer? Who is the advocate for the citizen? I mean, do they have somebody
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think, one, the easy answer to that is the Office of Consumer Advocate that is under the Attorney General Office, mm-hmm. Attorney General Tom Miller. However, I would contend that any sort of legislation, the most mundane to the most controversial, has lobbyists or interest groups on both sides of the aisle. Or both sides of the specific topic. And so you may be a lobbying on one version of the bill, and a colleague of yours or a neighbor may be lobbying on the other version or the other side of that piece of legislation.
Well, would you also agree that constituents themselves have a voice, and they can, any day of the week,
absolutely,
march
Michael.
Up to the Capitol and ring the bell and say, hey, I'd like to speak to my representative or my senator.
And we see that
every day.
We see that every day. And there are professional lobbyists and citizen lobbyists. And, you know, frankly, we encourage our clients to take an active role in the legislative process, in going up to the Capitol and hearing what the legislators have to say and explaining to the legislators the impact that this piece of legislation has on their daily lives.
There was a piece of legislation that happened this past season that was a bit controversial because people didn't understand necessarily why the state of Iowa would say, look, we're not going to allow corporations within the state of Iowa to divest from Israel. And some folks said, well, why are we doing that? There doesn't seem to necessarily be a reason. And I think you were one of the people that were lobbying for that.
Absolutely. This is an issue that is personally close to my heart.
Sure.
There is a movement that has begun to resonate both in America as well as around the world, the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement against the state of Israel. It is a movement that is using political and economic warfare to delegitimize and destabilize the state of Israel. Because of the trade relationships that exist both at the state level as well as the federal level, we have decided, or the state decided, that this was, one, a workers' rights issue for both Palestinian as well as Israeli workers, that it would be detrimental to boycott, and also because of the strategic relationship and reliance that Iowa has on the state of Israel. Legislation was passed with an overwhelming bipartisan support,
and it was
signed by the governor,
yeah,
that says Iowa will not do business with companies that boycott the state of Israel, nor will they invest their public pensions with companies that boycott. So this doesn't preclude a company from exercising their First Amendment right to boycott whoever and whatever they want. It is, however, a decision, public policy decision by the state to say we will not discriminate based on national origin.
Yeah. And when you said it was bipartisan support, it really was. There are some people that voted for this measure that you don't see in the same voting aye.
Well, I think, area. You know, there are very few pieces of legislation that are bipartisan in this day and age, both at the federal level as well as the state level. We are happy to say that Israel is one of those bipartisan issues. And even though it's an issue that doesn't really come to people's radar that much at the state level, it is at the federal level. And actually, President Obama signed a piece of legislation prohibiting the federal government from doing trade or business with those that participate in the BDS movement.
We're talking with David Adelman. He is the vice president at Cornerstone Government Affairs. And we're talking about how bills get done and some specifics about some of the legislation that he and his group have worked on. Give us a flavor, if you will, of some of the businesses or some of the entities that you work with?
Well, we really have a wide spectrum of clients that we work with. All of our clients are publicly disclosed on the Iowa legislative website, but we do work with municipalities. One of an exciting client that we have is the Metro Coalition, which is the 10 largest cities. We also represent the Boys and Girls Clubs and the Convention and Visitor Bureaus and the Iowa Community Foundations supporting the Endow Iowa Tax Credit. We represent Sheet Metal Contractors and Unity Point Health. So there are quite a few clients that we represent. We have the opportunity to represent up at the Capitol.
Could you do a little work for us on a project?
It depends, Michael. What is it?
There's something called a local option tax.
Sure.
That I know is very near and dear to many of the communities here in central Iowa.
Absolutely.
And there's some hard pressure to see if there can't be something done to allow at least a vote.
Well, that's exactly right. What's unique about that piece of legislation that you're referring to or that policy change is only in central Iowa and just in Johnson County are the only counties that do not have a local option. And so why this provision is difficult for passage is because the legislature does not like to do one-off type projects. They like to write policy that is a statewide policy. And so when you focus just on central Iowa, it is hard to get buy-in sure. from a majority of the legislators, many of which are not from central Iowa. And so I believe that this is an issue, as I know, near and dear to many of your listeners and those that that support the central Iowa economy. And it'll be an issue that will be a perennial issue in the legislature until this is passed.
I would think so. You know, and many people don't understand, but Fort Dodge and Humboldt and Ames, they can all have local option sales taxes. But because of the contiguousness of the cities
Correct.
Here in central Iowa, the Des Moines Metro can't.
That's right.
Yeah, it is cumbersome, to say the least. David Adelman is our guest. We're talking about how laws get done and the business of being a lobbyist. You've never held public office, have you?
I have not.
So you're one of the few, aren't you, that has not held public office that goes on to be a lobbyist?
You know, I think there are many different avenues on how to become a lobbyist. One of those is how, what you mentioned, being a former legislator. And I think best way or one of the reasons is because of the knowledge of how a bill becomes a law or the inner workings of the state capitol or Congress for that matter. I am an attorney and that was kind of my inroad into the legislative process, and I married my love for politics and my law degree to do government affairs and government relations work.
And it didn't hurt that you also married another very bright person.
That's right. My wife, Liz, is from the D.C. area, and she came here and started her own company, Adelman PR, and she compliments my
Absolutely.
Work.
Absolutely. Good stuff. I would imagine the dinner conversations get interesting.
Absolutely.
All right. Absolutely. David Adelman has been our guest. He is with Cornerstone Government Affairs. Thanks, David, for coming in.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. We've got to clear on out of here. It's up on 6 o'clock, and Tyler Hackenmiller is behind the controls tonight. The program director for the radio stations is Mark McDowell. The voice of Insight on Business is Jimmy Olson. The liaison between our ad agency and the Des Moines Radio Group is Mary Sayer. The music that you're listening to right now is arranged for us and done for us by James Goodlett. For all those folks and our guests, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful weekend and, weeknight. Be safe, be well, be careful, most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.